Let's turn to God's Word. Your Bible, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the Church Bible. It's on page 966. Just reading three verses, beginning in verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I don't know whether you recognize those words. We were smiling over lunch today because our speaker this morning actually prayed the whole theme of this afternoon's sermon, unbeknown to him. And so you might well recognize from our prayers this morning some of what we have here. But may God just bless us as we share this together and teach us from his word. Some of you will have heard of the Canadian theologian Don Carson. If you go back far enough, you will also remember that Don actually preached here in Sion Baptist Church while he was studying at Cambridge many years ago. Well, addressing the subject of physical pain and health struggles, including his own experience now with Parkinson's disease, Don would often say, "I am not suffering from anything that a good general resurrection can't fix." Of course, what he's referring to is exactly what these verses in 2 Corinthians 4 point to. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. It is, of course, the Christian's hope. The Christian's hope is the Christian's unconditional certainty. And it is this, that we will be raised to eternal life, and that in heaven we will have a resurrected, restored body. No more suffering, no more sorrow, no more sin. So let us look for a while at a couple of these verses that I've just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We seem somehow, don't we, to be surprised when our body gets weaker. There's a hymn writer who wrote, didn't he? "Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in you do we trust, nor find you to fail. Your mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend." What is the problem? The problem actually is sin. It was sin that brought decay into the world. Before the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that we read about in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve did not experience sickness or disease or death. Paul puts it like this, in Romans 8, verse 10, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, of course, he's not saying that our body is actually dead. His clearly isn't, as he writes this, nor are those reading the letter. The body moves. My heart beats, my blood flows, my mind thinks. So what does it mean to say that the body is dead? Well, it means that in that sense it is condemned to death. It is shadowed by death. And it makes sense, therefore, that I am vulnerable to sickness, to accident, to loss of memory, when my mind doesn't seem so sharp, and so on. Now that might sound to you pretty gloomy on the surface, and it's not my intention to be gloomy this afternoon. So why do the scriptures tell us this? Why is the body dead? Well, it is dead because of sin. Now that doesn't mean that we should give up looking after our bodies and say, well, there's nothing we can do. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't go to see the doctor, because what will be, and that's just the way things are. It doesn't mean that we should stop having treatment to bring physical or mental healing. And here's something else. We're not to assume that when things go wrong, that it comes down to our individual sin. And whilst it is the case that specific sin can sometimes have physical consequences, this is a more general point that Paul is making. We are affected, all of us, by sin, because of the words of Romans 5 verse 12, just as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. So picture the scene, if you would. You're sitting in the waiting room and you're called in by your consultant and he gets straight to the point. I'm sorry, I have a diagnosis for you. You're suffering from sin. Well, you're unlikely to hear that. In the same way that you're unlikely to say, my knee hurts because I am a sinner in a world affected by sin. But now we know why these sins exist. That sin affects everything. Everything is under that curse. Everything is facing decay because of sin. However, our text this afternoon encourages not to lose heart. It is as if Paul anticipates the question, how can I not lose heart? It's easy to, isn't it? It's easy to be discouraged. That's why Jesus told his disciples, didn't he, in one of his parables, that he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. They're always to pray and not lose heart. And then Paul, in Ephesians 3, verse 13, writes this to the Christian believers. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. To lose heart means to become faint-hearted or weak, or to feel hopeless or fearful. It is to become weary, even to the point of quitting. Well, we're given two reasons in our verses why we should not lose heart. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. And the idea in the original is, since it is true, since it is a fact that our outer man is decaying. And we might say, come on, Paul, tell us something we don't know. Well, here goes. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Paul seems to be saying that his outward decay is contributing to his inward renewal. There's a direct correlation. He doesn't lose heart because day by day his heart, or his inner man, if you like, is being renewed. So what does he mean? Did you know that it's estimated that the beauty and skincare industry is worth over £500 billion a year? We are continually being bombarded with advertisements for products that will cover up the imperfections as we see them, or will make us look better, or make us look younger. We see the increase in the number of nail bars and other beauty shops all around us. It can lead you, can't it, to feel that you're not as beautiful as you could be, or indeed that you should be. Or that if you buy a particular product, you can be what you hope to be. You can get anti-aging or anti-wrinkle creams to make you look and feel years younger than you are. I mean, who would ever imagine looking at me this afternoon that I am actually 103 years old? There is also a growing trend, isn't there, of having plastic surgery to improve how we look. You know, there's a lovely verse that comes during Peter's first letter later on in the Bible. In fact, what he's doing on that occasion, he's writing about wives witnessing to unbelieving husbands. But the principle, I think, is much more general. Because in 1 Peter 3, verse 4, he describes the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. It's imperishable. It doesn't need anti-wrinkle creams. In fact, it grows more beautiful through time. Arguably, outer beauty may fade, but inner beauty grows stronger. You see, this beauty is a loveliness of the heart, what Paul describes as the inner self. And lasting beauty is found ultimately not in physical appearance, but in the display of a godly character. That's men and women. And so our text speaks about the inner self as the unseen, true spiritual core of a person, in contrast to the temporary outer self or physical body that you and I can see. The inner self is the private core part of our identity. It holds our true thoughts, our feelings, our values, our beliefs, our personal goals. It is the regenerated spiritual identity of a believer who delights in God and is renewed daily despite physical aging. And only God can reach and renew the inner man. It comes through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Paul's renewed heart, therefore, comes from looking at what he can't see. It's there in verse 18, isn't it? We look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. And back in chapter 5 and verse 7, he writes that the Christian walks by faith, not by sight. Now, that's not a leap in the dark. Rather, it's a rest in the promises of God. It's trusting in his word. It's complete submission to the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the inner self, the soul, which will live forever, and it is being changed bit by bit until we reach heaven. Preacher Jeff Thomas writes, every single Christian is also making daily progress in the new life. His trust in God is stronger. his convictions about the gospel are deeper. His wisdom in knowing himself and the troubles of others is more profound. His resistance to sin is more determined. And moment by moment, bit by bit, we are being renewed. In verse 17, Paul writes about something that he calls this light momentary affliction. How can you call what I'm enduring now as a light momentary affliction? It's almost as if Paul's diminishing the pain of suffering. But of course, he knows what suffering is. Because the reason he calls it momentary is because, our second reason not to lose heart, is because eternity beckons. Compared to eternity with Jesus, these afflictions really are light and momentary. And as someone has put it, Paul doesn't minimize our suffering. Instead, he maximizes glory. But there will be a day when there will be no more sorrow or suffering. Verses 17 and 18 are telling us that there is something better to come. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. I mean, they pass, don't they? They disappear. But the things that are unseen are eternal. You may remember this song, this old house. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges nor to mend no window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. She's getting ready to meet the saints. Don't worry, I'm not suggesting that we add that to our song list. But yes, this old house, this old body, we're going to have a resurrection body. There will be no more hospitals. There won't be any more wheelchairs or disease or broken homes or mental illness. There'll be no more dementia. There will be no more funerals, because there'll be no more death. Because, to take it full circle to where we began, in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no sin. That's the reason that we know these things. So, let us not lose heart. Our suffering caused by sin will come, but will be momentary. And so our outer self is wasting away. But our inner self, through the grace of God, is being renewed day by day, because we're being prepared for what Paul calls a weight of glory that has no comparison. And so our song says, with every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. Let's think about that. To stand with joy before the throne. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we find these verses perhaps difficult, because we know that it is hard in our lives sometimes, and for some of us, we're going through what Paul does call as light momentary afflictions, but we feel that they're much heavier than that. But Lord, help us to keep in mind that eternity beckons. Help us to keep in mind that you are the God who knows all things, and that one day you will call us to be with you, where all these things that we have to put up with now will be gone, because there will be no sin. Help us, Lord, to keep trusting you through the difficulties, difficult moments, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our eyes fixed on heaven. And Lord, help us in all of that to know that we can trust you, but help us, Lord, not to lose heart. Strengthen up and uphold us, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.